نحمده واستعينه واستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا واتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek His help, His assistance for me, for you, and for all the Muslims Ameen. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of ourselves, because indeed whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can misguide him, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, there is none who can guide him aright. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After what proceeds, I greet everyone the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. Today's topic, inshallah ta'ala, will be concerning the woman's rights, or the women's rights. Okay, last week we went over a couple of issues and we concluded the class over the righteous wife, and today inshallah ta'ala we'll be talking about women's rights. Okay, going over in detail inshallah, to not too much in detail, but as a rough draft on how the woman should be treated al-Islam, and we'll go from the Quran, we'll go from the Sunnah inshallah ta'ala. Today you will learn the rights, or some of the rights, or the main rights of the Muslim wife. When we approach this subject, we have to approach it from the Quran and the Sunnah. From Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look at the women in Islam, it is important that we look from the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the basic principle. When you make any judgment, when you look at any affair, when you are faced with any matter, you refer to your knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. You always go back to the principles, the text, the Quran and Sunnah. So when looking at this issue, you refer to what? The Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah. And we go to the purpose of life, of course. Allah Azza wa Jal saying in the Quran, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the men except that they should worship me. Allah Azza wa Jal is, this statement is, has an, a negation and an affirmation, just like the testimony of faith. You have La ilaha, and after that Allah Azza wa Jalla said Illallah, except Allah. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the same principle and saying, I have not created jinn and men illa liya'budun, except that they should worship me. So when going to this principle, when looking at the women, when looking at the women in Islam, you have to come with Quran and Sunnah. You know, that come from Quran and Sunnah, you're coming from your mind, you're coming from the environment, you come from statistical studies, we don't need that. We need Quran and Sunnah. We look from the perspective of the Quran and Sunnah so we can be guided alright. So when keeping this in matter, keeping this in mind, we go from the principle that we see Allah Azza wa Jal has created women and men and jinn and everything to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you live your life in fulfillment of this duty. You live your life in fulfillment to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a woman, you have to look from the perspective that Allah subhanahu, what does Allah want from me? What does Allah wish from me? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect me to do to please Him? When you're keeping this in mind, it is easy for you to go through life in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be successful on the Day of Judgment, inshallah ta'ala. But it takes sincerity. So looking from the Quran and the Sunnah, we see that the woman's worship, woman's first purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she is obligated with the same obligations as the male. Okay? As the male. She's obligated to fast in the month of Ramadan. She's obligated with salah. She's obligated to give in zakat. She's obligated to give the hajj. She's obligated to stay away from munkar. She's obligated to stay away from fahisha. And we'll see, inshallah ta'ala, how to look at these principles and derive the benefit, inshallah ta'ala, so we can all benefit from these texts today, inshallah ta'ala. So looking, understanding, we have to look from the Quran and the Sunnah. I have to come to the Quran and the Sunnah. And understanding that our purpose of life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not our husbands. Okay? Not our mothers, fathers, not ourselves, not our nafs. Our obligation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a duty upon everyone. Everyone that you have to realize this obligation. You have to come to the conclusion that you have to search and learn and look for the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to look for the judgments of Allah and His Messenger. You have to look how to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your obligation as a woman. You're obligated to search, to learn, to educate yourself how to be successful in the Jannah. How to be successful in Al-Jannah. Women are equal in respects to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like the men are. You're obligated to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as the male is. There's no differentiation in this respect. So it's equality in men and women in regards to religious obligations. Okay, now let that be known. Just because you're a woman, this may be a little too hard on me to pray salah and work, or pray salah and take care of the kids, and pray salah and teach the children, and pray salah and babysit such sisters. No. You're obligated to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like the man is obligated to worship Allah azza wa jalla. Woman's status. Okay, you want to know what the women's status is? They're very honored in the religion of this deen. In fact, we have some sayings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in respect to this. Referring to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, translation of which, and whoever does a righteous deed, male or female, and is a true believer, male or female, and is a true believer, such will enter into paradise, and not the least injustice, even to the size of a speck on the back of a date stone, will be done to them. Chapter 4, 124. And the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, translation of which, whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a believer, verily to him will we give the good life. And we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of that which they used to do. Chapter 16, 97. And the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believers, men and women, are awliya, helpers, supporters, friends, and protectors of one another. They enjoin al-ma'roof, Islamic monotheism and all that Islam has ordered one to do, and forbid people from disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. They offer their prayers perfectly and give the zakah and obey Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah will have His mercy on them. Surely Allah is the Almighty, All Wise. Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 71. In the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, verily the Muslims, those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam, men and women, the believers, men and women who believe in Allah, who believe in Islam, the men and women who are obedient to Allah, the men and women who are truthful in their speech and their deeds, the men and women who are patient in performing all duties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered and abstaining from all that which Allah has forbidden, the men and women who are humble before their Lord, the men and women who give zakat, the men and women who observe the fast, the men and women who guard their chastity, the men and women who remember Allah much with their hearts and tongues, sitting, standing, lying, etc., Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. This is chapter 33, ayat number 35. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated the men and the women to worship Him, to serve Him sincerely, to turn away from the taghut, and to make their worship sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is equal in this obligation. Okay? Before we go into the rites, we should also realize that biologically men and women are two different sexes but complement each other. They're complementary to each other. And this scholar here is giving their commentary. They're saying one may well ask that if there is such a complete and comprehensive spiritual equality between the two sexes, why is this identical treatment not found in others' rights, duties, and privileges? Muslims, and especially non-Muslims, question why men go out to work, while women are encouraged to stay at home, while women have to wear the hijab. Why a brother receives a larger share of inheritance than his sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but in realization that men and women are created differently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has calls one to excel over another. If you do not understand, if you not submit, or you're not fully confident in the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't need to be learning about women's rights, you need to be learning about your aqidah. You go to the Quran, you go to the Kitabullah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we learn the women's status. In the Quran, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying that He has given one, made one to excel another, in English translation. Okay? One more rice than another. One maintainer over the other. One protector over the other. So if you do not have a realization, is that it will be hard to learn about women's rights. It will be hard to learn about women in Al-Islam. So you have to fully submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're going to learn righteousness according to how He wants you to live, not in accordance to how your desire wants to fly. No. We live according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That goes first, right? Of course. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no questioning the book of Allah, the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, He has made one to excel over the other, then why are you questioning it? Right? Why are you boycotting it? You have to come to the realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim. He's the most wise. His order goes, and every other order is inferior to that. Realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his wisdom, has made you a female and has made you a male. Okay? So the thing that we have to come to the realization is that, okay, I'm a female, I'm a woman, okay? How should I go about life? How can I be successful on the Day of Judgment? And being confident that you're a woman, okay? There's many, many women upset because they find out that one can have more wives or more companions than the other. Something petty like one gets more inheritance than the other. Something petty than one has to have two witnesses and one doesn't have, only have one witness. This is petty, okay? Realizing who you are as a woman, realizing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you as a woman, being confident in who you are, this is when you will learn to perfect your ibadah to Allah. This is when you will learn to perfect your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're a woman and you want to be like a man, then you will never excel. You'll never progress. You'll never get to the point where you can say to yourself, okay, I'm doing the best I can to enter into the Jannah. If you're questioning the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you keep questioning the rulings of the ulama, if you keep questioning the authenticity of Sahih Hadith, how are you going to prevail on the Day of Judgment? How can you feel secure on the Day of Judgment? Allah Azza wa Jal has given us the perfect book. If you question this book, this shows flaws in your aqidah. Do not sit in this class. You need to go into a class where you learn aqidah, where you learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the authenticity of the book of Allah, and the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You first learn to walk. You first learn to crawl. Then you learn to walk. Then you learn to run. If you're trying to run before you learn how to walk, you're going to break your head. What is the similitude? That you have to learn how to accept the judgments of Allah and His Messenger. You have to learn how to fully submit to the judgments of Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salat wa salam. So the excellence of women in Al-Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of women with praise and respect. He once said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and this hadith is in Ahmad and Muslim, translation of which, the world and all things in it are precious, and the most precious thing in the world is a virtuous woman. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, translation of which, shall I not inform you about the best treasure a man can have? Or you mean, listen up. It is a virtuous woman who pleases him when he looks at her, who obeys him when he commands her, and who guards herself when he is absent from her. This is the teachings of Al-Islam. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسْنَةٌ. In the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, you indeed have the best example. If the Prophet of Allah, the Ambassador of Allah, the Messenger of Allah is telling you an injunction and you reject it, what type of righteous path are you trying to traverse? What deen are you upon? If you die in that state, you die in a way of life other than what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. If you die doubt or rejecting the hadith, rejecting the judgments of Al-Islam, how can you call yourself a sincere Muslim, a one who is doing the best he or she can? Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to talk about the excellence of women in Al-Islam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, quote, translation of which, made beloved to me from your world are women and perfume and the coolness of my eyes is in salah. Allahu Akbar. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the best of creation, Allah azza wa jal, gave him so much abundance of knowledge. We know from the book and the Quran and the Sunnah. And Rasulullah said, the best of, translation of which, may be loved to me of your world are women and perfume, and the coolness of my eyes is in the salah. So we see the status of women before our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The honor of mother in Al-Islam, is continuing in the virtues of the excellence of mothers in Al-Islam. In a famous incident, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, quote, O Messenger of Allah, who is the person who is the greatest right on me with regards to kindness and attention? He replied, alayhi salatu wasalam, your mother. Then who? The Sahaba inquired. Your mother. Then who? The Sahaba inquired. Your mother. Then after he inquired again, he said, your father. Okay, so we see the status of women, our beloved women in Al-Islam, our beloved mothers, where Rasulullah SAW is commanding the children to have a servitude to their mother, a honor for their mother. The Quran also discusses the immense honor and respect due to both parents and especially to the mother. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in his statement, translation of which, and we have enjoined on man to be dutiful and good to his parents. His mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship, and his weaning is in 2 years. Give thanks to me and to your parents, and unto me is the final destination. Chapter 31, verse number 14. And all you men, there's also a reward in upbringing women. This hadith is in Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ says, translation of which, whoever looks after two girls till they reach maturity, he and I will enter paradise together like these i.e. two fingers. Sahih hadith, hadith sahih. So we see that we don't find this in the hadith with two boys, but there's something special apparently here from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in upbringing girls, women. So طيب, we go to some of her rights, inshallah ta'ala, some of the woman's rights in al-Islam, some of the main rights in al-Islam. While men are the physically stronger sex, the woman, biological makeup has made her excel as the homemaker. She alone can be impregnated, carry, and deliver the child, and she can suckle the baby. Her gentle, caring, and self-sacrificing temperament is best suited to upbringing the children and looking after the home. To say that she should also earn a living is an unacceptable injustice and implies that everything she does for the home and children is worthless and needs to be supplemented by an outside cover. Allah knows best what he means by that. But we see that the woman is not the first right. The woman has the right to be maintained. She must be maintained, okay? She has the right to be maintained. And if you think about this, the look when she's coming out of the womb of her mother, she's under the care of her parents, of her father. And she is not let loose until she is married. Okay? And when she's married, she goes under the guardianship of the husband. Okay, so she's always in a state of protection. This is the blessing of al-Islam. She is not let loose going to college. Okay? This is not from the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You do not let your women, your children, go loose to college by themselves to another state where Allah knows best what they're doing, alone, without any wali or anything. Even when she's traveled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a maintainer and protector over her. Everywhere, all the time, the women in al-Islam have been gifted with the blessing of protection and maintenance. This is from the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even when you're traveling, you have to have a wali, a mihram. When you come out your womb, you assign protection and maintenance from your fathers and mothers. When you go to your husband, you have protection and maintenance. And when you're traveling, you're to have protection and maintenance. This is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she must be maintained. Allah Azza wa Jal, the sand translation of which, quote, men are the maintainers and protectors of women, because Allah has made one of them to excel the other, and because they spend from their means, therefore the righteous women are devoutly obedient and guard in a husband's absence what Allah orders them to guard. This is Surah An-Nisa, chapter 34. Number two, the women have the right of education, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, once said, quote, acquiring knowledge is compulsory for every Muslim. There's no distinction between, okay, male, female, boy. No, every Muslim. It is an obligation for every Muslim to seek knowledge. Okay? Everything in this dunya is cursed, except the remembrance of Allah, and that which helps you remember Allah, and the scholar and the student. So I've heard some of the salaf, they say, that either you be one of two things. Either you be a scholar or his student. Do not be other than that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this is an obligation for everyone. Every Muslim, it is an obligation that you seek knowledge. And you have the right as a Muslimah to be taught the deen and to be allowed to practice the deen freely. Okay, this is your right. In actuality, the husband should be teaching his wife, or the father should be teaching his daughter, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your right. To be educated on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects for you is an obligation. The obligation on your maintainer to allow you to learn your deen. In fact, he should be teaching you. If he's not teaching you, then he should have you taught, or he should allow you the funds or the sustenance for you to go to the masjid, or he should supply you with tapes, lectures. He should make connections with you so that you can be educated. This is your right. And this comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This narration, i.e. the hadith, equally applies to men and women. Knowledge in this context refers primarily to knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay? Now, he is not obligated to make you or to allow you to go to college. I'm not saying it's something wrong going to college. This is not saying, we're not saying that he must teach you how to get a high school diploma. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a high school diploma. In fact, I think it's very imperative here in America that people get educated and they get at least a high school diploma, at least a GED in the footnote. But this text, this legislation from Allah and His Messenger, it is a must for him to make sure that you're educated on how many presidents of the United States there are, or how to be an engineer, how to be a nurse. No, this is not his obligation. His obligation is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and your families from the fire. Okay? So this is around his neck, making sure that you're learning what Allah and His Messenger has ordered us to do, and learning what Allah and His Messenger has ordered us to refrain from. It's the deen. She should not be prevented from going to the masjid. But you have to take in consideration. Okay, when looking at this, some women, they can say, okay, you can't make me stay away from the masjid. Fine, tayyib. But this is something extra. This is something extra. Meaning, you do not have to go to the masjid as a woman. If you have some obligation in the house that you should take care of, or your husband needs you to do something around the house, or the children are not fully situated, don't ask him to go to the masjid. You can ask him, okay, could you take care of the children or something, or do this for me while I go to the masjid at this class, so I can listen to the sheikh's lecture, so I can learn my deen. Fine. But you have to use the wisdom. If you don't think that your husband wants you to go at the masjid this particular time, then don't ask him. Don't ask him. But if you feel that you have been prevented from going to the masjid, learning what the students of knowledge are saying, learning what the shayukh are saying, and it is a consistent thing that he prevents you from the masjid, then you should exercise your right, and you should tell him, okay, Rasulullah gave us the right to do so, so you shouldn't prevent. I mean, you have to go in a diplomatic fashion to try to get your right, because you don't want to anger him. But at the same time, you want to learn your deen, you want to be able to practice your religion. So she should, we should not prevent them, you should not be prevented from going to the masjid. This is the most important. She should be allowed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. Freely. Okay? As a woman, as a slave of Allah, men and women, like especially women, you should be allowed, your right to be allowed to follow the Kitabullah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah freely. You should be allowed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. And we're talking respect to the obligations. There are some extra things that if your husband doesn't allow you to do, then you can compromise. But the obligations, that is where you have the right, have the right to be able to fast, have the right to wear the hijab, to have the right to make the salah. All of these things are your right, and they cannot be withheld from you as a Muslim woman. In fact, if someone's keeping you away from worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should go to the proper authorities, i.e. the imam or the judges. I'm not talking about the kuffar. You go to the imam or the proper authorities, or some brothers or his mother, etc., and try to bring the issue to the table. In fact, as a footnote, I heard today, my wife is telling me that she knows of some women whom some Native American sister, she got married to a brother, and he's from a so-called Muslim country, and they was talking, etc. And when they finally agreed to marry, he told her, "I want you. You don't have to wear the hijab no more. So, you know, don't wear the hijab no more." And subhanAllah, la ilaha illallah, Allah musta'an. Actually, this is kufr. But that's another issue at hand. But he told her not to wear the hijab anymore. Well, what did you think she did? She got a khula'. She got a khuri', which is her right. And inshallah ta'ala, we talk about a khuri' later. But when we're looking at this right, we come to the conclusion that women have the right, should be allowed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must be allowed, excuse me, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely, with no restraints. Okay. And you see, this is why that women, you see the wisdom in Allah and His Messenger giving us the injunction to that women can't marry kuffar, even though you desire it greatly. La ilaha illallah. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not allow the Muslim women to marry kuffar is because of this. Men have an authoritative figure. Men are going to try to use that authoritative figure to make you just like him. If he's kafir worshiping Jesus, worshiping trees, worshiping stones, worshiping the sun and the moon, or worship any other taghut, then how in the world can you be interested in marrying such a man when he's going to call to his way? And he's going to get upset if you do not worship what he worships. He's going to be upset if you do not follow the same tariqah, the same path as him. So, with his authoritative figure, if he's kafir and he marries a Muslimah, if they were allowed to marry one another, then it'd just be a matter of time when you get one or two things: fights, confusion, problems big time in home, or you'll become kafir, ونعوذ بالله, because he's going to call to his way. Everybody's giving da'wah to something, and everyone wants other people to be just like them. They have a saying here, it's called misery loves company. And indeed this is true, indeed this is true, indeed this is true. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, prohibited Muslim women from marrying kuffar who commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who make lies on Allah. Umar ibn Khattab, as reported, Umar ibn Khattab, he said, even though in matters of marriage, but he was talking in respect to the men, even though it is halal for men to marry the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, he said, I cannot imagine, Omar is saying, I cannot imagine a man marrying a woman who says that Jesus is my Lord. And you think of this statement, and you ponder over this statement, how in the world can you, as a woman, who by nature has haya, who by nature has been created to have a certain servitude to her husband, a honor to her husband, a submissiveness to her husband, okay? How in the world can you make someone charge over you who abandons the salah? This is why when the male abandons the salah, the marriage is broken. There's no more marriage for him, because it's just a matter of time when the man imposes his way of life upon the woman. So we see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not allowing, making it haram upon the Muslim woman to be married to a kafir, those who commit shirk with Allah. You say, okay, yeah, Abu Maryam, what if you think the man, he's inclining to this and that and this, and you know, he's not a bad guy, he doesn't... I say, don't listen to the khutuwat of shaitan. Do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Because indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is why he prohibited this action. And this is why when a woman comes to al-Islam and she's married to a kafir, the marriage is wanted. Okay? So understand these injunctions. And submit to these injunctions, and learn how to be a righteous woman in the sight of Allah. May your hands be covered in dust. Okay, we went over. She should be allowed to go to the masjid. Okay, the right of her own wealth and property. You have the right to have your own money, your own bank account, your own property. That is yours. Okay, that is yours. And you have this right to own property, to own wealth, etc. And a Muslim man, he cannot forcefully take his wife's wealth. Okay? But You have to take in consideration some things. Take in consideration that you should be asking your husband to give, even to give in charity. Rasulullah, it taught us that women should seek the permissions of their husband to give in charity. Okay, if they do not seek the permission, if they do not seek the permission to give in charity, then half of the reward is for her and half of the reward is for him. Okay? So it's important. When looking at the wealth of the woman, we say that it is her wealth, it is her property. And there is no way, no how, the man could do his way with her wealth. It is hers, completely hers. But you have to take in consideration, if your husband is going through a hard time, okay, and you see him struggling or he's in between jobs, etc., you have to take in consideration, you have to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in relation to your wealth. If your husband is in between jobs, he's struggling, and you look at him and you see he's having a hard time, and you're sitting on bukus of money, you're sitting on thousands of dollars. And there's some women like this who will see their husbands go through a hard time and not offer them some charity, not offer them. And you know, some husbands have, some wives have thousands of dollars, and when the husband seeks to get some money from her, she talks about a loan and witnesses. Allah musta'an. What kind of relationship is this? What kind of relationship is this? You have to understand that a marital relationship is not just something wherein, okay, I have my wealth, you have your wealth, we don't spend on each other, you keep yours, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, and that's how it goes. No. You spend on each other. You give to one another. I even know some women, and you know, this is with the men also, so I mean, but we're trying to progress as women. We're trying to come to a realization, how can we be better? We know some women, a lot of time, who the men spend, and this is a good man, right? spend on them, and their wives never spend on their husbands. SubhanAllah. Never buy them a garment. Never take them out to eat. Never do such and such. Never buy them a... They're all just receiving, you got your hand open. No. This is not how marriage works. It seems that as though the adhan is going. So I wrap up this right, inshallah ta'ala. And then hopefully maybe we can we can continue this session next Monday. Okay, looking at your husband's needs. Okay, if you see yes, it's your right that you have your own wealth, you have your own property. But if the family needs assistance, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. And don't be stingy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates stinginess. Does this not apply with your husband? This is one of the things that Rasulullah has told us, has informed us that Allah hates for us. Stinginess. Okay, and same applies for the men. I mean, so yes, you have your property. Yes, you have your wealth, but take in consideration the needs of your family. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put you to test, most definitely. Especially if you're trying to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're going to go through hardship. Understand this. And you're going to have to support each other. You're going to have to sometime take the leadership role in trying to keep the family stable. Because you are a key component. May your hands be covered in dust. Wa barakallahu fikum. Jazakallahu khairan. We end this talk, end this discussion. And it looks as though we may be continuing with more rights of the wife or the woman al-Islam. Wa jazakallahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.